Well, welcome this morning. This morning we're going to be exploring a little bit the sixth psalm. So we've been through the first five, and today we're going to be looking at the sixth psalm. And when you go through the psalms, of course, you are struck by the amount of material that deals with distress. And the distress there, of course, corresponds to what are spiritual temptations. But as we mentioned last time, there is always this movement between the distress and the experience of distress and coming back to those solid, grounded truths that are taught concerning the nature of the Lord and His care for us. So the spiritual life indeed does involve temptations, and these can take many different forms, some more severe than others. For example, a light temptation is when we come across an idea that perhaps doesn't quite fit in with the way we had viewed things up to that point. And so we struggle with this truth, trying to fit it in with our conceptual framework or the way we think about things. And slowly we find things, there's a bit of a tension as things adjust and this new insight can be incorporated into our way of seeing spiritual realities. And then there are much more severe temptations where entering into states where our emotions seem to dominate us to the point where we can't even think straight, where we lose sight of truths, and we enter into states of despair. So what we'll find today as we go through this psalm is that this temptation, these kinds of temptations, are absolutely necessary. They are a critical part of living the spiritual life, because it is through them that things are established within us, things good and true, and things evil and false are loosened from us. So our sense of self is able to move into more of what is good and true and have that which is evil and false pushed more to the extremity so that those things don't affect us as much as perhaps they had done in the past. And so that's the process, and we're going to be dealing with a bit of that today. So we're just going to be reading this morning Psalm 6, verses 1 to 10. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. Our reading from the Heavenly Doctrines this morning is from the work, the Arcana Celestia, number 2338. Temptations involve feelings of doubt regarding the Lord's presence and mercy, and also regarding His salvation. The evil spirits who are present with man at such times, and who are the cause of temptation, do all they can to infuse a negative outlook. But good spirits and angels from the Lord in every way disperse the doubting attitude, all the time preserving a feeling of hope, and in the end strengthening an affirming outlook. Consequently, a person undergoing temptation hangs between a negative outlook and an affirmative outlook. Anyone who gives way in temptation remains in a doubting and sinks into a negative frame of mind, whereas one who overcomes still experiences feelings of doubt, yet he who allows himself to be filled with hope remain steadfastly in an affirmative outlook. This opening verse. Jehovah, or Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in the heat of your fury. Now, we saw in our look at the second psalm that the Lord is never angry with anyone. And we can state categorically that in him who is divine love and divine wisdom, there is nothing that even comes close to resembling fury. So the psalmist's cry here, Jehovah, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in the heat of your fury, is not a statement concerning the divine nature, but it is a statement that captures the nature of the doubts that enter into a person's mind when in the midst of spiritual temptation. For temptation to be temptation, there must be doubt. So the truth of this verse relates to the spiritual fact that when we enter into states of feeling distressed or anxious in the spiritual life, thoughts then arise out of these states that cast doubt on the spiritual truths and principles that the Word teaches. Truths teach that the divine is love and wisdom, and that love that from love, by means of wisdom, the Lord governs all things right down to the minutest detail in every single individual's life. That it is impossible for the divine to be angry or furious with anyone. Now, we may say we believe this on one level, but often, particularly in times of difficulty, we find another belief at work. When states of anxiety grip us and we feel distant from God, false ideas flood in, and the truths that we have acquired often get twisted in our minds. For example, if God is the cause of all things, then when something unpleasant occurs, we can easily slip into thinking that God is unhappy with us, that we must have done something to earn his anger and displeasure. And so we end up interpreting what's happening to us as some sort of rebuke or chastisement from him. So this is very useful, coming to this passage, because it can teach us something. It reminds us that we need to be aware of how the mind works when we are faced with difficulties in the spiritual life. Because this kind of understanding is able to sustain us in times of doubt, even though it may appear that everything is coming apart. You see, in basic terms, our mind is motivated to find the reason for things. We are constantly in the question of why, which becomes obvious when we are in difficulties. Why is this happening to me? Why me? These are common human responses to adversity in life. So too in the area of our inner life. When we come into uncomfortable states of mind, our first response is often to unconsciously begin to look for why we are feeling the way we are feeling, to find some reason for it. So the automatic unconscious nature of this response is something we need to be aware of, because if we aren't aware of it, what happens is that our natural reasoning faculties take over. And these reasoning functions of the lower mind begin to throw up reasons for why we are feeling the way we are feeling. We need to hold on to truths at these times. We need to hold on to truth, the truth that the lower level of the mind is open to spiritual influences that are opposed to the spiritual life. They will cause or cast doubt. Reasoning from this level of mind is based on an acceptance that what is true is how we feel. And so this level of mind goes into a mode of justifying how we are feeling. We then fall into forming conclusions like is found in the psalm. The psalmist here, who is in a state of having lost sight of what truths teach, sees God as punishing him or chastising him. So he concludes wrongly that God is somehow bringing these difficulties upon him because he has offended him in some way. Now, the spiritual practice that spiritual Christianity teaches is a life of conscious attention. This involves learning how to bring spiritual or higher truths to bear on our lower states of life, so that we are able to be more conscious of when lower states of mind that are opposed to the spiritual life are active and casting doubt on what spiritual truths teach. The more aware we are of how this level of life captures our attention and so causes us to lose sight of truths, the better prepared we can be in being able to work with the Lord in order to have these states managed. We also need to realize that the only way we can be strengthened in spiritual principles from the Word is through experiencing spiritual temptations. We have to experience these because it is through these temptations that the doubts that we have are drawn out. This idea of drawing out doubts is very important. Temptations do not cause us to doubt. They merely draw out states of doubt that already exist in false beliefs that we hold on to and even cherish. The process of temptation is the means by which the false things we are holding on to are brought out into our conscious awareness. Why? So that we can see them and seek the Lord to have them removed. The appearance is that temptation causes us to doubt, because our experience of the process is that the doubt appears to follow on from the temptation. But this is just that. It's an appearance. Doubt exists because of the false beliefs we hold to, and inner conflict arises when the truths we are seeking to live from are attacked by the falsities that exist in our lower minds. The spiritual meaning of verse 2 reveals a growing understanding of what belongs to the process in the midst of temptation. Verse 2 says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled, for my bones tremble." Now, one of the goods that arises from temptation is the implanting within us of a sense of our utter dependence on the Lord or the Word in spiritual matters. We come to see that we really do need the Lord. The work of struggling with doubts in the spiritual life is not really our struggle at all. In matters pertaining to our spiritual growth and development, it's all the work of the Lord. It certainly feels like our struggle, but we don't go by what we feel. We go by what truths teach. The process involves having truths becoming more fixed into our sense of who we are, and these truths are living when they are working to this end. These truths, they are the divine within us. And it is these truths, the divine, the Lord, who fights for us. And it is He who pushes back the things that are opposed to the spiritual life. This is why the psalmist says, "Have mercy or be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am weak." Here is an acknowledgement that in ourselves we are unable to lift one finger in support of our spiritual development, that we are utterly dependent on truths or the Word to direct us, to guide us, to motivate us. The call for healing, "Heal me, O Lord, for my bones tremble," again, speaks of how limited our own understanding of things is. Now, the bones of the body support the body. They are the supporting structure. And as all things in the Word describe spiritual realities in natural terms, the bones of the body correspond to the basic mental structures around which our mind or sense of ourselves is formed. The trembling of bones then represents the fragility of our sense of self when falsities and doubts attack those spiritual principles that have yet to be fully worked into our life. Commitment to spiritual Christianity as a life practice may not be the most attractive life pursuit from a natural perspective, as can be seen from our reading of the psalm. But its appeal is not to what is lower in us. Its appeal is to what is higher. When we respond to truths, a higher level of life is awakened within us. Yet our sense of ourselves often is still attached to what is lower, and it can be that way for many, many years. The presence of spiritual truths forming a higher level of consciousness within us is under constant attack from what is lower. The lower seeks to undermine and pull down what is higher in us that is established there from the Word. But in the work of regeneration, this process ultimately works to strengthen what is spiritual, as our sense of ourselves is taken up and out of the lower levels of our mental life and planted in the goods and truths of the Word, and so planted in the Lord Himself. When we know these things, we can be strengthened by this knowledge. And this is seen in the psalmist's final response to this predicament he's experiencing. So verses 8 to 10, "Depart from me, all workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back ashamed in a moment." And these enemies, these are the false thoughts that attack us as we seek to live a life of charity. And so the psalmist recognizes that truths, that the Lord will turn them back, that they will not prevail. So here we see the experience of the struggle and that temptation has. It leads to a newfound confidence and trust in the Lord, that in fact He does hear us, for truths teach that the Lord's ear is never closed towards us. He receives our prayer. The Lord cannot but receive us. And He receives us when we yield to truths and resist what is evil and false as the basis of our life. The Lord does not set conditions on our being heard. But spiritually, to have a sense of being heard arises when adverse conditions recede and more favorable conditions begin to advance in our life. Now, the natural person interprets favorable changes in their conditions as their prayer finally having been heard. But the spiritual person knows that the Lord always hears, and that whether the conditions are experienced as favorable or unfavorable, patience must be exercised that the process might be seen through to completion, that these enemies within, these enemies of the spiritual life, might be turned back at the precise moment that corresponds to the Lord's own perfect timing. Amen.